So we said, and what we're going to be working on here is the biblical values, and I don't know what you're going to do with this. I almost want you to make a new slide and to wipe out the biblical values side. Just copy and paste that, and then cut the biblical values side, because that's the side we're going to work on here a little bit. Because I was blown away last week by how easily we could come up with what our culture values. Talked to somebody afterwards, and they said, "Well, duh, we live in it. We like these things ourselves. We interact with these things, and when we're critical, it's easy to find what's wrong with something." Okay, but what do we know from God's word, just generally, that would speak to those things? Because we're looking for those elements inside of the church. It's hard to put your hand on them, but we have to lift up the elements that'll cut against, or we're going to fall right into that. It's amazing. Whatever backgrounds we have of saying, stay away from the world, on the outside, we're staying away from the world. On the inside, we're following that list on the left. Psalm 16. Before we come to that, okay, let's just look at Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You'll make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. There's so much in here. I go back and forth between wanting to get finished with the point and anchor you back inside of these thoughts, inside of Scripture. We could sit here forever, but between you starting to get how we're thinking in here and answering these questions in a way that just keeps growing, and between us going into these passages, it keeps taking longer to make our point. But I want you to see these things to guide our discussion about biblical antidote to some of the cultural things. All right, got to make a new slide. Sorry, Psalm 16. Just put Psalm 16 at the top, and just tell me in here what's valuable to the psalmist. What causes joy? Where are the boundaries, rules, if you have to put it that way? Where is his focus? We don't have time to do this justice. Just tell me what you can see by just looking at it. Jim. Yeah. Life's direction only from God. I don't even know what else to say. Joyfully is the wrong word. With with whole heart, with whole heart, seek his paths. Psalm 16:11. Go. A peace. Don't solve it. Don't be profound. I like to sound profound. We're dumping it on the table. Then you come back and go, well, maybe it's this. Darla? Yes. Whoa. You're done. Okay. Remember that you know, we are a sexed culture, okay? And so pornography is rampant. Not only, just things that are perverted with sexuality. Where does perverted sexuality fit into your lives? Remember? We said it fits anywhere, in the cracks. You don't have to seek it. It's just there. It goes with it. You can create that stuff anywhere you want. And then after a while, it becomes familiar, all right? And then you can argue, is there even a medical thing that happens, a physical thing in your body, is it sets off certain triggers, and you go back to that, okay? All right? If you can't figure out the godly thing, figure it out on the sinful side, and you sit there and go, wait, that's what's being described in here on the right side. The stuff that goes on naturally for us, and you go, oh, there you had to bring up the sex thing, okay? It's like Jim is reading now is focused on sexuality has become such a political thing. You can see that now in Pride Month. As it's like, well, do they really believe in this? What are they doing with it? It's everywhere. And if you don't make the point, you're canceled, okay? Well, here, look at this person. This person, we don't even have to talk about that stuff, because this person here give me a couple of those words again, Darla. They came right from the passage. Okay. My flesh, that's the part that's down here, right? This part, not the heavenly part, it dwells securely, right? Instead of dwelling securely in the culture or in our sin, they're comfortable in the things of heaven. There's a whole pile of them. You were just reading through those. You take refuge. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. So you think always, you know, is there any inheritance from any of my relatives? Oh, you're lucky. Your dad died and you got something. My dad didn't. Oh, I didn't have a dad. Oh, shoot. I thought, well, do you want your dad or do you want the inheritance? Right? The Lord, Lord is inheritance. Inheritance. Okay? Refuge. There were other terms. But the point is comfortable in, I'm going to just say, heaven's treasure, okay? And I don't want to take the thing away from the Lord, okay? Heaven's treasure is God himself. God himself is the treasure. You feel that inside of this psalm. He lingers there. What do you got? Sarah? Okay, life satisfaction, joy, whatever, security, I don't know, thrive, flourish with God. I mean, that's the biggest understatement. Inside this psalm, all right? Of course, it's not true. Of course, this is just the author's opinion. And you go, no. We got a whole pile of issues there if we undermine the divinity of the Scriptures, the God-ordained nature of the Scriptures, and that we got to keep working on that. Remember, I have a bunch of books at home from about 15, 20 years ago talking about the erosion of inerrancy. And the erosion means it appears that we trust the Bible, but the ground's being pulled out from underneath us. We're not really living on it, all right? This is presenting a world where these things thrive. Remember, our culture is telling us there's something else that makes our life thrive. You got to think about what it is for you. I joked with you that it was pistachios for me, okay? So what is it for you? You fill in the blank. You go, well, that's not true. I just like these things. Fine, but when do the likes become what you're leaning on? Okay? And then they're no longer gifts from God. They are God. They're supplying what God was meant to supply. Okay? Can you give me? I don't want to sit in here all day, but I want you to just look at it and see a focus that we're going to need. The word is the word of God, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and intents of the heart. Where's the thoughts and intents here? This is just the expression. This is the fruits of godly roots in here. Anything else? Sheldon. Yes. Yes. Holy One. Okay. Okay. Right. You want a gospel that's secure? It has to go to the deepest parts that the fall has tainted inside of your soul, your deepest fears. See, if when you go, well, I don't know, I'm getting shaky. I've said that needs to happen. If you just suppress that stuff, the gospel, God is not glorious. It's no longer the gospel. So that's where you take it down into the deepest questions. Now stop. The thought that if I search enough, I can find all the answers. Google has messed us up. Our arrogance has messed us up to think if I study, I will find all the answers. God is not like us. He is above us. He has given us plenty. Your mind is part of the solution, but don't let your mind make you the center of reality. But where we're going with that is death is a big deal. That's where we find out if we believe in only what we can see. All right, we have an existential reality that our experiences create reality, or if there is something beyond us. Okay, in verse 10, yes, it's capitalized, and you see your Holy One will undergo decay. Yes, ultimately, it's talking about a promise to what Jesus was talking about. But as the little bit of homework I was doing in there, they said that there was no context for the psalmist to be able to say that. Initially, what he's saying in here is this is so, back to what Darla was saying, this is so much reality. I'm so comfortable. Sheol, the place of the dead. Stop thinking just heaven and hell, okay? The place of the dead, the place of separation. I'm separated from all those I love on earth, and I'm with who? Where? I'm with you. I'm with you. Because, yeah, you look, God, my refuge. If my delight is there, because my trust is there, he is so secure in the word of the Lord that even Sheol will not separate me from what you have promised. And then it goes to the ultimate reason why, as then it refers back then to Christ, the second Adam, and Jesus, you know, into thy hands I commit my spirit. As he lived as the perfect man, The perfect God, Philippians 2, emptied himself, well, as he's still fully God, he had to trust the Father for what they had planned before he comes down. I always do the will of my Father. Now, it's not just, it is obedience, but back to what Darla was saying, right? And this is what Piper was saying at the end of Future Grace. Anything, this was combine what Sarah was saying too, anything that is short of God is not just an idol. It's not ultimately trustworthy. It cannot produce what you're asking it to. So here, because he's comfortable in there, his desires are there, and they're tied to a trustworthy word. This one talks about the heart. Just like the culture is insidious here, in here you feel the culture of heaven. Why is the culture of heaven? Where God is. Where God is. It's 1 John 1. Fellowship is a given inside of this psalm. Sandy, what are you thinking? You hear that? The lost art of meditation, not emptying our mind, filling our... What fills your mind when you have empty thought? Remember we said quiet allows something to flourish. What? And for a lot of us, if we haven't been grounded right, and the sin that so easily entangles, there's a lot of unbelief. It doesn't have to be, well, that was dirty, well, that was wicked, well, that was wrong. No, you're living, your thoughts are looking somewhere other than Psalm 16, okay? Well, then, instead of just going, bad girl, bad boy, all right? He instructs me in the night. I go, but he's my teacher. I'm thinking, but you said. I want, but you want. And when you look at it that way, instead of fighting, think about that. You want to be a Chicago public school teacher? You know, and it was part of what Tim struggled with when he was in an education degree, is he struggled with the actual learning thing at the end, the last semester where you go and do it. And I was like, wait, I was learning all these things to teach kids. I'm spending all my time coming up with IEPs and all these things for why is that kid jumping up and down in the back? Well, I don't know, but he's got some kind of condition. So, well, I don't know, he can't learn anything. Oh, no, he can. Here's the special thing for jumpers. You know, and then you have, everybody has their special thing. It's like, well, wait, when do I get to teach what I studied? He instructs me. He's so secure that that's learning time. It's learning time. So trustworthy that not even Sheol or death breaks promises. Free to learn. You know, when you're worrying, when you're angry, whatever, your reality is speaking. What you have in here is God speaking to your reality. God speaking. Pastor?
I just want to continue to encourage and repeat the book at the beginning of the sunlight.
Yep.
At night, or when the mind is great, and that's the busyness of the day, you have to think about what you're doing. It's too easy for fears and negativity to come in.
Mm-hmm.
My life is found in you. My
Yeah. And, you know, when you say, well, we're all talking about negativity. No, I have a positive outlook. What gives you that positive outlook? See, because, and you go, well, it's Jesus. Okay, well then, Jesus until what? All right? Because what we're looking for is something that is consistent in all circumstances, that lives, that thrives. Remember where we said that life, satisfaction, joy, security thrive or flourish with God. So why is the negative stuff come? Again, you're imagining a future where God is not king. And we're doing that all the time. We're saying, if this, then this, if this, then this, is it? Yep, you're right. That's a bad thing, right? And with all this other trouble, I should prepare for this. And hey, be reasonable, all right? Things are changed. You can't leave your keys in your ignition anymore, all right? But when does it go from be reasonable to you controlling your reality so that nothing bad can happen? That comes from God. All right, we talked. All right, so I had no idea they were going to like what they called the scary song this week, right? But, you know, they kept asking for it, right? But the littlest ones were scared. Don't sing the scary song, right? Everything was, I couldn't get it. There was no number two song. They sang them well the other night. They sang them all well. But I couldn't get a second favorite. What do you want to sing? And every class, every time. Pick that one. I had to spend so much time explaining scary, all right? Maybe we're going to disagree here. This is one of the reasons I like kids to see hard things when they're young. I get the nightmares. I get all the other stuff. But somewhere, it's amazing to me how everybody goes, no, 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 they can't deal with anything. No, 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 no. Do you realize how afraid they get? Okay, so then they, if they're not careful, they grow up in a world where there's no consequences for anything and nothing terrible is happening. They just do terrible and it's no big deal. They don't understand why later on it's, and you go, well, that's crazy. I tried to give them a pure environment, okay? And I said, okay, all right, which on this, and we showed the sin brought sorrow, death, and shame, but our earthquakes, and they're like, well, I don't like the tornado. I said, okay, so where do you go when the scary happens, the thunder or whatever? And they said, oh, I run to mommy. Okay. I said, okay, everything in this song happened when we disobeyed. When you disobey all the time, how is your mommy or your daddy? They get mad. Oh, they get mad. But you said you ran to mommy. Why'd you run to mommy? They get mad. Okay? I said, what happens then? What? Why? All of them, no matter what the punishment structure is or how anybody handles, somewhere they said, if every single one of them said, when I disobey, there's something that happens. I said, well, then what happens? I said, are they still mad at you? No, no. I said, well, you did wrong. There are consequences. When we disobey God, we separated from God. You cannot go to him. Where does it say? And then we looked at the end. And we said, in the cross, our hope is found. I said, the cross is a very bad thing. It's a very bad thing. Somehow, look, what? Well, there's the sun. There's hope. It thrives. Life, satisfaction, joy, thrive with God. Back to what Sheldon said. Even death itself, you're secure. Not decay? Decay? I watch some of the murder series like you do, all right? And a whole pile of them are full of autopsies. Me who don't like blood, I guess they drain all the blood and all you're left is decaying bodies when they exhume them, pull them back out to find DNA stuff. And you just think, we decay. We know it. You watch as you get older. As our bodies just start falling apart. You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. What does he mean? There's something that's stronger than death? So we're talking about the faith. The faith that doesn't, remember in Hebrews? We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who persevere to eternal life. You didn't earn your eternal life. You trusted God. You said, but I don't trust. Where do you turn then? To God. Your faith is a gift from God. Anything else? John? Temporary bankruptcy, yeah.
Yeah, in favor of letting God take control of it, because I have no good desire to.
Yes, verse 2.
Yeah.
Yep.
Verse 3.
Okay. There you go. Everything. Yes, the reading that I was doing centered on verse 2. It's been a lot. That was for the love of God. That's what got me thinking about this psalm as I was thinking about culture. D.A. Carson's devotional, For the Love of God. And he was focusing in, I have no good besides you. I said to the Lord, all right, I haven't done my homework. You look in your footnotes about capital Lord versus my Lord, okay? Master, sovereign, all right, over all, all right? I have no good besides you, all right? He's all in. When he talks about full bankruptcy, he's talking about last year we started Transforming Grace by Jerry Bridges. You want something steady? Outside your scripture reading, Jerry Bridges was a steady. You can read most of his stuff. Doesn't mean he's hitting a home run with everything. It's very helpful. So the kids have been, this is the second time. In 2013 and 14, we did Transforming Grace. We're doing it here again. But he talks about chapter 7 bankruptcy versus chapter 11. He said, most of us come in with a temporary bankruptcy. Oh, I'm so broken. I need you. Save me. And then we get back on the road again, and we become ourselves again. Total bankruptcy. You have died. Your life is hid with Christ in God. There's nothing. There's nothing from you. Your security comes from the righteousness of God. Stop performing to be accepted. But he talks about then how we do perform. What does holiness look like when we're not trusting in ourselves? Transforming Grace, second half. Anything else? Okay. Good. Yeah, go. There you go.
And then you say control.
Yeah.
I usually do that.
Go ahead.
Because I want to obey God and I follow
him. Right.
But when things pile on top of one and another, mm-hmm. How can you follow all this?
Right. And that's why I'm telling you, see. I was just reading, why does the Christian film industry fail? Because they're trying to reach Christians. Because the Christians have the money that'll buy the film. If you put a Christian-based film reaching the unbeliever, they may or may not want it. They'll trash it. There's not enough money in it. You can't do it. They're following the money. Okay, Christian bookstores did not stay alive by selling Bibles and commentaries. They sold what people wanted. All right, Psalm 16:11 was one of those verses that everybody hung on their wall. And once you find they want to hang it on their wall, now you put it on their toilet paper. It goes on everything, right? Testaments, right? Haven't you seen them at the checkout of a Christian bookstore? Oh, what's a Christian bookstore? Yeah, they don't exist much anymore, right? I get it. There's a place for it. Ha ha. But back to what she's saying, if we're not careful, we are swimming in the words of this, and this is what I'm calling the fruit. That's why I'm not starting with this. This is where it's heading. This is what true gospel faith will head towards. We have so settled for, I need this product now. I don't know what you're talking about, but I need something because I can't sleep right now. And my husband this, or my wife this, or I am so lonely this, or my child that, or this country this. And she said, piled up, and there's nothing left. That's what we're arguing for. We're not arguing for you to agree with me. We're arguing for you to live what you said you believe. And she goes, I can't. Right. And then what? Oh, well, trust God. Yeah, but we're going to have to unpack the path to building what he's living. What is that? Because other than that, we have a whole bunch of Christians today that hold all this stuff up and feel like it's never attainable. It's fake. It's fake. That's why we're looking for what will produce. If you're not careful, now come back to a question, because she's right. That's exactly why we're doing this. I just watch. It's like people are on this scouting thing to go, who is falling from Christ now? What? That's not where this psalm is focused. This psalm's, you know, that's bad. I miss you. You betrayed. I'm sorry. I thought. But see, you know, hurt and mistrust are overshadowed by the stability and security of where they are looking. When we dwell in what's wrong with the world, the cliche phrase is, you don't have a big enough God, right? This guy didn't have to make God big. He saw God as big. This is the fruit. This is a fruit. Everybody that says, well, it's fruit, fruit, fruit. There it is. Go ahead, live that. Live that. All day, every day, there it is. And if you can't, that's what it's you and I, for many reasons, the sin that so easily entangles. Look at Paul, you know, challenge it. Look at the Jerusalem Council in the morning sermon, all right? Not even those that wanted to follow God always knew exactly what that looked, and it included dissension and turmoil. On the other side, you realize what they were fighting for, the essence of how you could know that your faith was really from God and not something you produced. Harold, what are you thinking? Right, got it. Right, but it's only a small things. It wasn't what he was known for. His disposition wasn't steady anger. Go ahead. There you go. Yes. Right. 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 Yeah, and if you think of more, that's fine. Do you hear that? See, every time you go, I can't deal with people who, he had to deal with them. Every time, does it come to me, oh, you're weary and heavy laden, I'll get, wait, you're one of those that does that, that did that, that said that. Come, he hangs with tax collectors and sinners. They couldn't hang with him because they were so wicked. So when you go, oh, let's be like Jesus and hang with the wicked people. But you don't hate the wickedness. I told you, I told the youth group. I said, you remember? I said, you're such a good girl. You're such a good girl. And you can't, it's like, thanks. You just put me down. You're a little naughty. And then they get a little grin on their face and go, I'm a little naughty. Right? Right? Why do we like to be a little naughty, but it's a bad thing to be a good girl? Okay? And he, that sin is it separates. It's everything against. It's everything that destroys. Narnia, magician's nephew, right? The new world is not more than an hour old, and you have already let evil into it. Go watch, or listen to, or read the magician's nephew. Harold? Yes. Yes. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, go. Yes, yes. Yes, no, no, no. No, think on that. Because that's, remember, the phrase that I'm using is, I'm afraid we have climate-controlled Christianity. It only thrives in certain climates. If Jesus, then, it tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. So it's not just, well, he touched the dirty. He's repulsed is an understatement according to what the Bible says. And you say repulsed because it's not God. It's not God. In him is no darkness at all. He walked through not God and not only didn't sin, okay, but that he was then able. The way he said, he wasn't always tense. What you described in Psalm 16, that's right. Aricha, you said that that seems so impossible. All right? That's why we're asking you to look again. Not saying throw out everything you have, saying trust his word. Live by his word. Who was it, Pastor?
Yeah, I think one of the problems, large problem, is we really do not understand what trust, believe is. Friday night, out in the parking lot, talking to someone who does not attend church here, don't even let your mind go. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to this one who I believe thinks that one is a Christian. I see no proof, no evidence that it is. But I asked about a loved one, and the person told me, oh, this one is a believer. They grew up going to church, and they still believe.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what is belief?
Right.
A simple, old, not perfect definition of faith used to be taking the words F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I faith or trust.
I trust him. Yeah, there's verse 2. All right? There's no good besides him. Okay? There's the fruit. That's the fruit we're looking for. Okay, now come to our culture. All right? There you go. There it is. Oh, we have no biblical values. All right, so look at that list on the left and think what, all right, not just what's the right answer, okay? But what does the Bible value that, like what Harold said, he presented a picture, and then he goes, it's not that I'm walking the right way, all the rest of you are stupid and beneath me. It's like, to whatever extent we're struck, all right, we're not there. But you're going to have to include some of these things, or you're still in the flesh. The flesh, Romans said, that you cannot see God. Go ahead. What do you think biblical, the heaven's world values that speaks to anything on the left side? That we're going to have to seek to keep intact in a church. You know what I mean? We're well-meaning, but I think we destroy one another with how we encourage one another. Usually don't have time to sit down and give a big long letter for everybody. Sometimes you do. It's just your sentence here or there. What you're hugging, as you hug them, you say, hey, I'm thinking about you this week. What were you saying would be a good thing in their life? Okay? We're not wishing on people pain and hardship. That's always hard. But what are you, if you're not careful in trying to help them feel better and to show them that you cared, you're strengthening the wrong side. You didn't mean to, but think through it carefully. What does heaven value, okay, that would speak against this, that whatever we do, however we care, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. You see, part of the solution is we're going to have to be willing to fail. We're going to have to be willing to have things messy, okay? Now, you continue to build on that. What are you thinking, Vanya? Regarding humility, regarding our understanding it's church history. I'm saying that one first. We're missing it, but I want to say it. Our place inside of professing Christians. Now I'm going to say the study of the word You go. It's in my language. Duh. All right, remember the Catholics were always bothered by that. They said you get it in their language and everybody will become their own interpreter and nobody will listen to anybody. Immaturity says it's this or this. As you get older, you realize sometimes we use complexity to get what I want. Well, Mom said this, but Dad said this, but Grandpa said this, but the preacher said this, but the teacher said this, and finally you get them all arguing with each other and you quietly go and do whatever you want. All right, complexity can lead to us getting what we want. On the other side, you know, I look at some of these suspension bridges, and you realize they're all at the right place. All the things that are holding that thing up are just perfectly intentioned to be able to allow the bridge the perfect amount of sway and stability and all the other things there. We are so confident as we pick through, we go, oh, well, that means this. Well, I heard somebody once, well, are you saying my experience isn't valid? Look further. Look deeper. Well, if I look deeper, will I get it? Yeah, you might get that point, but there's a million other points. So humility realizes that, okay, I'm going to need the others to put this thing together. The others before, after, wait. Beyond that, I need Holy Spirit. See, and that's why it gets pretty cheap when we trade a few tears in the songs for the working of the Spirit. I mean, not a crier, but whatever your thing is, that sermon was, I want to listen to that again. Whatever it is that buzzes you, okay, why did it buzz you, all right? This one is very important. I was talking with somebody about this recently, saying, I feel hurt, okay? Is hurt a valid thing? You know, and you go, yes, but what is hurt implying? That somebody crossed and took something from me that they had no right doing, okay? Hurt is valid in a sinful world. But if you combine that with what Vanya is just saying here, does God have the right to offend? All right? In what, remember I told you, the thing that got me onto John Piper was his chapter in Pleasures of God that said, it pleased the Father to crush the Son. All right? And as I dug through, I said, no, this ain't true. This is like, you're hammering on something. It really bothered me. And you go and study, it's like, well, I don't know. Man, there's no other, as he laid out the case, as you study through Scripture, you're just like, does God, is he free from my definition of kind, of caring, of understanding that there's something beyond? And now you go, he is complete inside himself, and yet, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Study that, because they come back together for the reason Sheldon said, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. They come back together again. But, all right, I'm old with the movies, but the old Spider-Man, right, holding that train back and his whole little suit breaks, right? Right? Do you think the Godhead was strained? Careful, we're human. That's sin. Sin. He took on himself the iniquity of us all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie. Let that blow your mind. He caused the iniquity. How could the Godhead remain together? In a way that doesn't make you go, well, that's easy. You know, like I look at the kids today doing the Rubik's Cube. Right? I told you guys, that blew me away that I'm sitting at the DMV and there's this little video of somebody doing it in 5.3 seconds, juggling three of them. I can't juggle or do the Rubik's Cube. When I was a kid, I didn't know anybody that could do the Rubik's Cube. They took the stickers off, right? Right? It was because there was a book that you had to take out of the library to study it. And you just go to YouTube and watch everybody else do the algorithm, right? Careful! Careful! Does God have the right? You need to think on that for a long time to offend. The humility to realize, I don't have the answer. But if you're not careful when you're saying, you don't have it, you don't have it, you don't have it, you don't have it, you know who's left standing? You. And you follow your own view of that. You need to be scared of that. Scared. Go ahead. Olga, I missed somebody. I'm sorry. I missed somebody on the last question. Olga. Say that word again. What is use? What is God's goal? Thank you. When he determines limits. Let's just say, what is his goal? Somewhere, if you're walking in fellowship with a holy God, it should happen all the time. You're sitting there thinking, I don't get this. I mean, look at the disciples, right? Right? So even when they follow him, let's go to Jerusalem to die with him. Or the other one, they just kicked you out of this town. Should we call down fire from heaven? God, we got your back. All right? And that, I wish we would defend God's name more than we do. But even when they defended it, they still weren't seen. Well, what's his goal? He said, you do not know of what you speak. Then that should drive you not to say, let me have, I'm talking to me, let me have what I need to do your work, and start saying, maybe there's another goal. And that's what I was thinking. I was in some tough situations this week. I was just thinking, all right, I'm telling everybody else to put on the armor of God. Why isn't that enough for me right now? Why do I just want to go curl up in a hole and never deal with anybody again? All right? I needed to say, I have a long way to go before his armor is enough so I can live this. Where was, forgive me, Sarah. Right, right. There you go. Okay, okay. All right, right. So, you know, and all you need to do that is to go to, you know, go to another continent and realize, you know, all the teens love to say, well, in this culture, it's polite to burp at the table. You know, it's like, well, good, go there. Here, we don't do that. Okay, all right. Or whatever you want to say with that. Isn't it amazing, you know, if you go to all these different churches, every church in every culture is going to talk about hypocrisy. You say this, and you try to be holy over here, but you do this. Tell me, how does that fit? Okay? Here, what we're saying is with the attributes, when are you sure that you're in the ballpark of what his love looks like? See, it can be false humility if you go, well, I'm not doing it all the time, but I think his love is this. I'm concerned not when you're disobeying God, but who is the God you're disobeying? If you start being a good boy or a good girl, what would that look like? Because you're telling me how God defines holiness. Not by how you're acting, but by how you think you should be acting. And where do you see that? Oh, wow, I like her. I like him. They're godly, all right? We often don't say that anymore, but we think that. We gravitate towards certain people. Often we're looking for a better us. But you're telling us, see, it's the wrong perspective. And that's why, take my yoke and learn of me. You have to stay here. You're going to pull away from this. And I don't think I'm going to get to the end. You're going to get to the end and see it perfect. I believe enough, though, the contentment, back to what Darla was saying, that found in loving the Lord with all your heart. Say, I don't know. I haven't figured it out. I'm not a lawyer. I just know it's there. And then keep learning. Forgive me. It was here. Or was it Jim? Yes. Wait. Yeah, I wonder what it meant. Can somebody help us? Nicole? You must. All right, so put validate me. I'll validate me. Go ahead. So what's the opposite again? Say it just because I was focused on. Yes. Okay. Okay. Inheritance. What? A heritage and an identity with God. Inheritance, heritage, and identity with God. We should protect and defend that. Don't touch my stuff. Lord, would you help us? Help us that no matter what we're saying in here, yes, in this church, there's a lot of Pastor John David. But Father, would you keep that from keeping us from hearing what we're saying as we look inside of your word? Any skill or direction you've given is not the final end in itself, not only to this pastor or any other pastor, any other Christian. Let us look higher and use the tools you've given us. Thank you, Father, for the focus this morning. Would you help us as we think carefully through what needs to be included and not to seek to make heaven here on earth, to profane heaven, because heaven is like you. Father, would you show us, like Harold brought out, as we follow you, how to live in a sinful world and grow in our repulsion against the sin in our own life because we want fellowship with you, not because we want to be better than the people around us. What's of you, help it to stick. Work it deep in our hearts individually and how to help each other in Jesus' name.